listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now, you can lease a 2017 Blue Cruise from only $138 bi-weekly at Lakewood Chev.
So we go to Chicago. Tab Banford joins us from Chicago now in the fourth period. Tab, had you ever seen the movie Duets?
You know, I have not. For me, that will always be accompanied by Huey Lewis with a bullhorn telling Michael J. Fox that he's heard enough.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nice. I like it. Speaking of duets, the Blackhawks, of course, have a $21 million duet in Kane and Taves. And, you got Keith and Seabrook have been joined at the hip on the blue line. Now, there was some rumblings, Bob McKenzie, last week that, the Blackhawks made some sort of deal potentially with Vegas where they'll lose Van Riemsdyk as long as Vegas agrees to take Marcus Kruger in a trade in his $3 million contract. The Blackhawks and Stan Bowman have been up against the cap for quite some time now. What other moves do you expect that they need to make now after getting swept out of the first round this season?
Well, I think, you couldn't have picked a better song to lead into talking about Chicago's offseason than The Power of Love, because I think that's one of the things that a lot of fans in Chicago are trying to deal with right now. A lot of people are looking at Brent Seabrook's contract, which has almost a $6.9 million cap hit and goes on what seems like forever. He's actually the longest signed player on the Blackhawks at 32 years old. And people are saying, he's not a top two guy anymore. He can't be making $7 million. But then you look at his leadership skills and what he's given to the organization in the past. And it's tough for people to look at somebody like a Brent Seabrook and say, he's got to go. And then he's got a no move clause on top of it. So obviously he doesn't have to go anywhere if he doesn't want to. So it's going to be a very interesting summer for the Blackhawks, because not only are they up against it right now, frankly, they're over it, even after the proposed deal that Bob McKenzie put out that would have them getting basically $4 million off. But they're looking at a pretty significant D-Day coming up again in 2019. They've got Artemi Panarin for two more years, Kruger right now for two more years. They re-signed Richard Panik for two more years, and Nick Jalmerson has two more years. So in 2019... they've got four guys, potentially, depending on what ends up happening with Kruger this summer, that they've got to make decisions on. And Stan Bowman has usually been pretty good about looking not only at the immediate season in front of him, but also working the dominoes so that he doesn't have to make a ton of earth-shattering decisions when the time comes. So, frankly, I think the Panik deal was a big surprise, especially the $2.8 million cap hit. But the Hawks are going to be pretty active. And with the draft in Chicago, I'm sure that they're going to want to be active to put on a good show for the fans here in Chicago.
One thing I find interesting is looking at the Hossa contract. He's now playing for $1 million a year. Now, I know it was a long contract, but is there any concern or thought that maybe Hossa won't continue to play? And then I believe that would create some issues cap-wise as well.
Yeah, he's got 4 years left at a 5.25 cap hit. He was a productive guy last year. I think the biggest thing that the Hawks need to figure out right now, Marian Hossa thrived in a third-line role last year. He had some guys moving around, skating with him. He saw his most success really with Ryan Hartman playing on the opposite wing, and I think a lot of people look at young center Tanner Kiro possibly moving into that third-line center role with Hossa and Hartman this year. But the biggest issue that the Hawks have had ongoing really since Patrick Sharp started to slide a little bit and now that he's gone, is figuring out who's going to play on either side of Jonathan Toews. They were phenomenal when they had Brandon Saad and Hossa skating with the captain. But when Saad moved on, they struggled to find somebody who would complement Hossa on that line. And this past year, you saw a merry-go-round again with Toews. And really, there was a stretch from about the middle of January to the middle of March before Artem Anisimov got hurt, that he was looking pretty good with Nick Schmaltz, a really good-looking young rookie, and Panik with him. But, again, you're looking for guys to skate with someone like Toews that are going to be able to consistently give you production. And there were a lot of peaks and valleys with Panik and Schmaltz. So while Hossa's salary is down, which might make him look tempting to some teams, again, with the no-move clause, he can decide where he goes. But in a third-line role, He was pretty good this year, and he's still a beast playing with or without the puck. So it's hard. He really hasn't fallen off much, but they got to figure out what they're doing with Taves if Hosa is going to stick in the third line role.
Now, what about on the back end? So let's say they lose Van Riemsdyk. You got Seabrook, Keith, and Hjalmarsson. And Seabrook, of course, you know, he's just kicking in that new deal. He makes huge money. But age is starting to creep up a little bit. Who do you think right now is going to be the bottom three defensemen in Chicago?
Man, that's a crapshoot right now. And I think that's why you hear the Blackhawks being linked to so many European defensemen. The organization loves Gustav Forsling, who they got in what may turn out to be a steal of a trade from Vancouver a year and a half ago. He's 20 years old. He saw some action last year. He's a really good skater. He's got a really high hockey IQ. But he was a teenager when the last season started, and there was some roughness around the edges there. So I think he factors in. They brought back Michael Kempney, who I think showed some signs of being a guy who's got some value. But never really seemed to consistently get ice time from Joel Quenneville. And then how you figure it out at the bottom is really going to be interesting. They've got Michael Roosevelt under contract for another year. A lot of people looked at that as possibly being insurance if they needed to move Van Riemsdyk for the expansion draft. But again, there isn't a lot coming and ready in the minors in Chicago. Carl Dahlstrom's a nice young player. He's a bit more bigger physically, but he's 22. Luke Snuggerud had a great final college season, but he hasn't played professionally much at all yet. And Victor Svedberg is a big guy. He draws a lot of Chara comparisons just when you look at him standing on the ice, but not when he plays. And he's got a little NHL experience, but I'm not sure that he factors in. So I think the Blackhawks are going to look to be active in the trade market and possibly bring some help back on the blue line as they shed salary, or look to Europe and look at bringing in some experience from overseas.
What about a guy like Brian Campbell, who's already there? Is he for sure not coming back?
You know, Campbell's a fascinating case. He never sold his place in Chicago. He still lives in the suburbs, loves playing for the Blackhawks. He came back for pennies on the dollar last year on a really team-friendly deal that had some really easily achieved bonuses that are going to end up impacting the Hawks this year. But at 38, there were times, especially against Nashville, that a guy who was known for his skating throughout his career really struggled in that department. And so if he is brought back, again, he would be no more than a bottom pair guy. I think long-term, he certainly stacks up as a guy that could be a coach. You see Phil Housley having a really nice run right now. But whether or not he comes back, I think it really depends on how much of a pinch the Hawks are in, because I'm not sure that Brian Campbell is viable north of maybe 10 or 12 minutes a game at this point.
Tab Banford from Chicago now joins us. Blackhawks, of course, up against the cap again, which has forced them to make some moves that maybe they don't love to make, but they really have no choice to make over time. And, you know, losing Kruger, good depth guy, obviously with their top-end guys, it's not a crushing loss by any stretch. But what do you see them doing in goal, right? Because I know they've got Crawford, and I think Jeff Glass is the other guy they have signed right now because they have to expose somebody. But they'll be on the market looking for a backup. Anybody you think's a fit?
You'd have to imagine that that's something that the Hawks are going to look to do. You know, Glass is 31 and has – yet to really taste much NHL. He was a free agent when he signed with Rockford last year and played well enough for the Ice Hawks that they brought him back as protection with the move of Scott Darling. But there really isn't anybody in the organization that's going to jump off the page and say, yeah, you know what, this guy's ready to be an NHL backup. So with Crawford sitting at a $6 million cap hit, right now it really looks like he's the guy that they're going to ride at least for a couple more years. And look to possibly bring someone in either via trade off of the scrap heap or again, looking overseas. This is something that, you know, as the Bowman family tree has done for so long, they've done a really good job of identifying guys overseas. They got a little bit in the minors from Lars Johansson last year. He's a free agent right now. I'm not sure if he's going to stay on North America. He probably won't based on the amount of playing time he got last year in the A, but certainly, if you look at the depth chart right now, the Hawks were blessed to have two very good goaltenders last year. And right now, they're sitting on one, and Crawford can't play all 82. So that's definitely a position they're going to have to keep an eye on. But that's a position that I think is going to be the most volatile this summer, with a lot of big-ticket guys looking at maybe being exposed in the expansion draft. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury's name is out there, obviously. And so I think there's going to be a ton of movement at that position this summer. It'll be interesting to see how the Blackhawks find something that not only works for them, but that they can afford. That's the trick.
Tab, I appreciate the rundown. Should be an interesting next few weeks leading up to the expansion draft to see what the Blackhawks do, and then right through to the draft in your home city. Enjoy it.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Tab Banford from Chicago.